Now let's get into this here. We're going to start. First of all, I just want to say this. If you're taking notes, and I would advise you to do this, in order to understand the book of Revelation, you need to understand that it is divided into three parts. Three parts. Three categories, or three parts, I should say. The first part is chapter 1. The second part is chapter 2 and chapter 3. And the third part is chapter 4 through 22. Everything after chapter 4, verse 1, is all future tense. It has not happened yet. Everything. Everything in chapter 2 and chapter 3 is current and past. Current also. How do you know it's current? Well, he said this is a book of prophecy in chapter 1. Which means it has a prophetical element to it, which means that everything said to the churches is not only present tense happening, what was happening over there in Asia Minor, in Turkey there, but also currently happening in the church today. You could go in every church in America right now, every true church of God, and you will find those conditions in those seven churches in every single church. They will fit one of those categories there, one of those seven churches. Chapter 4, the rapture happens in verse 1. Jesus said in chapter 1, verse 19, he said, write what is now. He said, write what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place hereafter. Then you see he talks to the churches in chapters 2, chapters 3. Then chapter 4, verse 1, he says, come up here and I will show you what must take place hereafter. Hereafter what? Well, hereafter the churches that he told them was going to take, something was going to take place hereafter, right? And then we've seen in verse 1, he got raptured up. Then chapters 4 and chapter 5 is showing you some events that are taking place in heaven. But in chapter 5, Jesus, which is the Lamb, you need to understand that the Zoes are four living creatures. Everything else can be taken literally, except the Lamb is Jesus. You need to understand that. And then the Lamb received a scroll. This is a literal scroll that was sealed with seven seals. And then he began to break the seals. In chapter 6, verse 1, and when I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures say, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering as a conqueror. This is the Antichrist. He does not come as a man of peace. He only makes a peace agreement with one place, which is Israel. He comes forth conquering and to conquer. He's trying to take over the eastern world. Verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, come. And there went another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat there to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This is representing the wars that break out as a result of the rise of the Antichrist. War. Very simple. War. Verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And they beheld a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances or scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Well, this is foodstuffs, which throughout the Bible represents famine. Well, why is there famine? As a result of the rise of the Antichrist and as a result of the wars taking place in the world. Famine. Very, very easy to understand. And then he goes on, and it says in verse 8, and I just want to make mention that the famine here is, the cost of food was eight times larger than usual. That's incredible. You're talking, what is a loaf of bread? You can pick one up. You're talking $8 for a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk. How much is a gallon of milk nowadays? $3 or something? So you're talking $24 for a gallon of milk. Verse 8, and I looked and beheld a pale, or literally a green horse, it says in the Greek. And him that sat on him was death, and hell followed him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword and hunger and death and with the beasts of the earth. Well, this is simply death and hell. This is the many millions of souls going into hell and dying as a result of the rise of the Antichrist going forth to conquer and the wars taking place in the earth. It's that simple. They're happening consecutive and in order. They're building upon layer upon layer. And then, verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they maintained. Now, this is simply the first martyrs after the rapture. All in verse 4, everything from chapter 4, verse 1 on, every single living or dead saint was raptured in chapter 4, verse 1. Everything after this is future tense. So these are martyred saints. That's all it means. Very simple. Now, in verse 12, and when I beheld, he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun turned black as sackcloth, as of goat hair, and the moon became blood red, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, and she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens rolled up like a scroll, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains, rocks, fall on us! Hide us from the face of him that sits in the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Well, this is simply as a result of all the changes of the planet, the sun, all the things coming. They know God's wrath is coming on them, and it's so terrible and it's so scary that they're calling out for the mountains to fall on them so that they might die. They'd rather be dead. Men are calling for death to come upon them. But I want you to know that right here in the sixth seal is where the wrath of God begins. Everything in the first five seals was the wrath of man. The sixth seal begins the wrath of God, and the wrath of God continues throughout the rest of the book of Revelation all the way until Armageddon. Okay? Chapter 7 is parenthetical. We're not talking about it. We'll talk about it another time. It's other parenthetical means this. It's explanatory chapters explaining certain events that take place along with the 21 consecutive events, but they're not those events themselves. They're not, in other words, there are other events taking place that are not part of the seals, they're not part of the trumpets, and they're not part of the vials or the bowls. They're not part of it, but there are other events that are taking place alongside with them. That's why you call it parenthetical. We know what parentheses are. So chapter 7, we go right past it. Now, chapter 8, verse 1. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. Now this, I just want to make mention, is not the wrath of God nor the wrath of man. It's simply what it says. We know what a half an hour is. We know what silence is. We know a little bit about heaven from chapters 4 and chapter 5. No need for explanation. It means what it says. It's not any wrath. It's just silence. I mean, people come up with all sorts of... It was silence, okay? Can you just accept the word and not add to it? Amen. We can do that, right? Amen. We're believers. We believe what God said and only what He said. Forget everything else. God's word is the only foundation of truth in the whole universe. Amen. And we stick to the word, come hell or high water, whatever comes up against us. No matter what anybody says, no matter if somebody in the United States stood up and said they were Antichrist, we're not going to believe it. Why? Because we're going to believe the word. He says He comes from Syria. He comes from the old Roman Empire territory in the Middle East. Okay? He doesn't come from the United States. We believe God's word according to the book of Daniel. Amen. Forget everybody else's opinions. We don't listen to opinions. As believers, we listen to the word of God. Amen. Exactly the way it says. Now let's continue on. So that silence happened, and now we go through parenthetical, that's preparation for the first trumpet up to verse 6. Verse 7, the first angel, now this is when the trumpet judgments begin to take place, and I want you to notice that the sixth seal had already taken place, the seventh seal, now the trumpet judgments begin at the end of the seventh, after the seventh seal is completed, which was that silence for a half an hour. Verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Literal. Hail, fire, mix it, bud. No, there's no symbolism here. It means what it says. A third of the vegetation and so on and so forth is going to get burned up right here. Verse 8, the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain blazing as with fire cast into the sea. It's something that looked like a mountain to him. And the third part of the sea became blood. A third of the creatures which are in the sea that had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So a third of the sea turns into blood. Whatever this mountain, it looked to like a mountain, but it was on fire. It went into the sea, right? Third of it turned into blood, literal blood. Third of the ships destroyed. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. We can understand that. It means exactly what it says. Something that looked like a mountain. You can picture, you know what a mountain looks like. So we can picture that. We can, you know what fire looks like. We can understand what it is. Verse 10, and a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as if it were a lamp, and it fell on the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. So we saw the other judgment was on the sea. This is on the rivers and the waters, springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, which means bitterness. And the third part of the waters became wormwood or bitter. And many men died because of the waters. It became bitter. This is literal. Okay, a third of the rivers. Many people die because of the waters became bitter. No need for interpretation. It means what it says. But you need to know that wormwood means bitter. It's that simple. Now, going on here, we go into another parenthetical thing. There's other announcements being made that there's three more woes coming as a result of the trumpet judgments. And then in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star from heaven under the earth, and given him was a key to the bottomless pit. I want you to know this star is an angel. It's an angel. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as smoke of a furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened from the smoke that came out of the abyss. This is the bottomless pit. It's an abyss. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power like the scorpions of the earth. They have power. And it was commanded them by who? It was commanded them by the angel who's their commander, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God on their foreheads. Now we skip chapter 7, but the 144,000 were sealed. That's what he's referring to. And to them was given, and to them, these locust creatures, was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented for 5 months. 5 months. Literally 5 months. And their torment was like that of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Now, we can understand that would be terrible, right? You can go Wikipedia, all the different manifestations that take place when you get struck by different types of scorpions. It depends what scorpion it is. But we can get a broad idea by reading about all of them that it's not going to be good. It's going to be terrible torment. In fact, you get people get dehydrated, delirious, all sorts of terrible things. Pain, suffering. Verse 6, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Now, this, again, is all part of that fifth seal. This is what the first woe. The first woe from the trumpet judgments. Verse 7, and shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared into battle, and on their heads, as it were, of crowns of gold, and their faces were like faces of men, and their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. That's literal. It means what it says. That's what it was like. That's what he was viewing it. He was describing it the best way he could. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. Now, if you think that this has anything to do with military equipment doesn't come out of an abyss. Okay? Enough said. Forget about it. These are literal demonic horsemen coming out of the abyss. They had breastplates, as they were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses running into battle. You're going to know they're coming. It's going to be loud. And they had tails like scorpions, and in their tails were stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt them for 5 months. You hear me stuttering up here, it's because I'm used to reading out of the NIV. I'm trying to read out of the King James Version. I sometimes quote both of them at the same time as it pours out of my mouth. So what's happening here is these people are getting tormented for 5 months. They can even try to cut their head off. Its death will run from them. They will not die no matter what they try to do. They're going to suffer the torment. It's going to happen. We don't want to be down here during these judgments, right? We want to obey God and live a holy life. Why? Because He's coming soon, I'm telling you. He's coming very soon for His church. He's coming very soon. We need to be ready. I want you to be ready. I pray relentlessly for you, that you're accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, which Jesus told you to pray in Luke 21:36. He said, watch ye and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. You should be praying it for yourself and your family every day. Now, so we see what they look like. Now, and he mentions here in verse 11, they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, that's that star, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, whose Greek is Apollyon, which means the destroyer. Now we have just another announcement of a woe in verse 12 here. Verse 13, this is the second woe about to take place here. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard the voice of the four horns of the golden altar, which stood before God, saying unto the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels are loosed, which are prepared for this hour and day and month and year to slay a third part of mankind. So we can understand what a third part of mankind is. These angels were loosed to destroy them. And he's going to tell you that these angels are actually leaders over 200 million lion-headed, snake-tailed, with snake tails that inflict injury on the people. They have fire, smoke, and brimstone, sulfur coming out of their mouths to devour their enemies. They have teeth like lion's teeth. And they have breastplates like breastplates of iron. Their breastplates are fiery red, dark blue and yellow is sulfur. And they go forth to kill a third of mankind. 50 million of them, 50 million of the 200 million go in four different directions with these angels as their commanders to kill a third of mankind. It means what it says. This is not military equipment. These are literal satanic, demonic beings that go forth to kill a third of mankind. Amen. And even at the end of it, in verse 20, it says that the rest of them that were not killed by these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can't see or hear or walk. Neither did they repent of their murders, their sorceries, nor their sexual sins, nor their thefts. So they still went on sinning. Hardness of heart is revealed. Chapter 10, it reveals some things about an angel, which is literally Jesus himself, that comes down out of heaven and makes an announcement. And there's some other announcements made and some other things that take place. But this is not part of the sixth trumpet judgment. This is parenthetical. It's another event that's taking place during it. That's why we're not going to talk about it. Chapter 11, he goes into the two witnesses, which again is parenthetical. These are other events taking place. Now we're right. We're getting to be right about mid-tribulation at this point. That's where we are in the time frame. But go on verse 15. The seventh trumpet, which is the third woe. The seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world have become the kings of our Lord, the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now, what happens during this last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet judgment, as we see that the dragon gets cast out of heaven along with the third of his angels. They get permanently incarcerated. They're cast out of there forever. Not only that, we see that the woman clothed with the sun with the moon on her feet, 12 crowns, 12 stars on her head. That's literally Israel, flees into Edom, Moab, and Ammon, according to Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 49, flees to be taken care of for the end of the tribulation period or the last 3.5 years. Also, we see the 144,000 that were sealed in chapter 7. They get raptured up. That's the man-child, the 144,000 Jewish people from the 12 tribes of Israel get raptured up and caught before God in His throne. He goes into detail about it in another parenthetical chapter, which is 14. So all these events are taking place during this last woe. Okay, are you with me? Not only that, but chapter 13, we see the rise of the Antichrist. We see the rise of the false prophet in chapter 13. And they enforce beast worship. As a result of the devil getting cast out of heaven, the first thing he does, right after verse 17, he says, and the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And then he sees the beast, the Antichrist, rise up. Why? Because the devil gives him all of his power, his throne, and all his glory to operate through him, along with the Grecian prince that is empowering the Antichrist, because he rises out of the old Grecian Empire territory. You can read about that in chapter 17. It says, the beast that once was, now is not, will come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. That's talking about the Grecian prince. You can read about the book of Daniel. He says about that one beast. He said he had four horns on his head and so on and so forth. And those four fell, which again is Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, and Greece. And then the Antichrist, a little horn, came out of those four horns and so on and so forth. We taught on that already. You can read that in the book of Daniel again. Now, so all these things are taking place during this last trumpet judgment, and also this is the last woe. Okay? Now, go on over to chapter 10, verse 7. I want you to see an announcement Jesus made here. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that's this last trumpet, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. This mystery is why God has permitted the devil to continue his evil designs on the human race and to try to destroy the plan of God and God's plan in connection with man for so many centuries without God taking action. That's what will be accomplished during this last trumpet judgment, which is a final woe. Go to chapter 12. Let's start over here. Start in verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon dragon and his angels fought back and prevailed not. Neither was their place anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil or Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels are cast with him. Now this right here, the devil being cast down to the earth permanently, he's locked out of the heavens, he's cast down to earth. This is the last woe, and I'll tell you why. Right here, it says here, in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe. That's the final woe. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil's come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This last woe is going to be so much more worse than all the other judgments that have taken place, and he made a special announcement about it. Because the enemy is extremely full of wrath, and he's out to kill and steal and destroy to a greater degree than he ever has been before, because he knows he's only got a little bit of time left to try to kill as many of the God's people as he can and try to overthrow God. Okay. Now, chapter 14 again. As parenthetical, chapter 15, verse 1. We're going into the vial judgments. So now we've gone through 14 consecutive events that are in order. We went through the seven seals, the seven trumpet judgments so far, and we're going to the last seven judgments which complete the wrath of God, which are the vial judgments or the bowl judgments, you could call them. Vials or bowls. Chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw a sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, preparing to sound them. Now, this is all parenthetical here, all the way up to verse 2 of chapter 16. This is where the judgments begin. This is announcements being made about certain things. We'll talk about it another time, possibly. But chapter 16, verse 2, and there went, and he poured his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sores upon men, painful sores, which took the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So anybody who takes the mark of the beast or worships his image are going to have painful ulcers and burning sores and leaking sores coming on their bodies. It's going to be terrible. In verse 3, the second angel poured his vial upon the sea, and it became blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. You can also, according to the earlier judgments, you can assume that the rest of the ships and all the other living creatures and so forth died. Because this wasn't on, this was no longer a third, it was all the, like it was during the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. This is all the rest of the sea turned into blood. All of it is blood now. And this is literal. Verse 4, a third angel poured his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. Now he didn't say he poured it on a third. They became bitter earlier, but now he says they all turned into blood, all of them. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous because you have so judged. For they shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you give them blood to drink as they deserve. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Verse 8, the fourth angel poured his vial upon the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed God because he had power over these plagues, but they did not repent or give him glory. Hardness of heart. This is literal. Verse 10, the fifth angel poured his vial upon the seat of the beast, and the kingdom was poured into plunged into darkness, and they gnawed their tongues of pain and blasphemed God because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. They're running sores and altars and ulcers, pouring horrible pain from that, and you see that the everything, the sun is, you know, they got these cancers and sores all over their bodies, and you see that the sun is scorching them with heat, and then all of a sudden, everything's plunged into darkness. And there's no doubt, with all their pains and their pussing sores and everything on their bodies, that it would literally, be, as a result of all this torment, that would make men go raving mad. And yet Christians go on sinning. I just don't understand it. You need to fear God. He doesn't want this for you. He wants you to be dancing on the streets of glory, eating opulent foods and abundantly provided for, relaxing, drinking from the streams of living water, sitting there with Jesus in His presence with no more fear, no more torment, no more pain, no more curse, no more discomfort. That's what He wants for you if you just obey Him. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up to make the way for the kings of the east to be prepared. Now, this is literally exactly what it says. Some people see it's the dried up Turkish Empire. Forget about it. It means what it says. It's the river Euphrates. We have no problem understanding that. That runs into the Persian Gulf. It's a river. And, you know, he goes on in this parenthetical part, verses 13 through 16, he talks about three evil spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of false prophets, going forth doing miracles to deceive all the kings of the earth so they can gather them all together, gather to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. You see, the Antichrist didn't kill everybody, did he? No, because it's right before Armageddon. And just to get people to follow him, he's literally got to have these evil spirits go perform miracles just so they'll follow him. And they do persuade them, and they do follow him, and they all gather together for Armageddon. Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven on the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices, thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. Now, this is the same earthquake as in chapter 11, verse 13. We didn't read chapter 11, but after the two prophets are slain, and their bodies lay in the great street of the city, which is figuratively called Sodom in Egypt, where also the Lord is crucified. Their bodies lay there for 3 days, and people literally gloat over them and sent each other gifts like Christmas because these two prophets had tormented the earth. They have power for the 1260 days that they're prophesying to shut up the sky so that it will not rain, it says, and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. And it says, if anyone tries to hurt them, fire comes out of their mouths and devours their enemies. Anyone who tries to hurt them, he said, this is the way they must die. There's a specific judgment for anybody that messes with God's two prophets, which again are Enoch, and Elijah, not Moses. How do you know that? Because they die. Moses already died. He says it's appointed, in Hebrews, he says it's appointed man once to die and then the judgment, not twice to die. And then you can read about that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. Now, let's continue on. And that's I forgot to make mention of this, but it's same as 11:13. It says there was an earthquake, and the city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. This is no doubt that same earthquake. Well, we're right before Armageddon. Yeah, what it says is for two prophets prophesy for 1260 days, and after they die. So we're right at the end, right? That's why I said it's a parenthetical chapter explaining other events that are not part of the seals, the trumpets, or the vials. Let's continue on. Verse 19, the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The great city Babylon came to remembrance before God, and he gave her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men hail out of heaven, every stone weigh about a talent, which is 114 pounds. Hailstones. Men blaspheme God because of the plague of hail, because the plague was so exceedingly great. This is ending the wrath of God according to his own word. These bowls will end the wrath of God. End the wrath of God. Which goes all the way to Armageddon here. So we see we went through... just about this last seal here. This is a God judging Babylon and all the cities of the nations and bringing to pass the last of the great plagues that will complete his wrath on the earth. Completes the wrath of God. Now we know from chapter 6, way back there in the beginning of chapter 6, during the sixth seal, the great day of God's wrath has come, and who can stand? That's when the wrath of God began with the sixth seal. The wrath of man, the first five seals were the wrath of man. The sixth seal was the wrath of God, where it began. The seventh seal was just silence for a half an hour. And then we've seen there's a couple parenthetical chapters. In particular, chapter 7 is parenthetical. There are other events, subsequent events that are taking place along with these judgments, that they are not part of the seven seals, the seven trumpets, or the seven vials. There are other events taking place. They're explanatory chapters explaining what else is taking place on the earth. Now, we also see that right after that silence of the half an hour, we see that the seven trumpet judgments began, and they went all consecutive and in order all the way through. And then we see that after these seven trumpets and all the three woes that are contained within the seven trumpets, which include the locust creatures that come out of the abyss, the lion-headed, snake-tailed, fire-breathing, demonic creatures that kill a third of mankind is a second woe, and then the dragon being cast down to earth is a third woe, which are all part of the trumpet judgments. The Antichrist rising up, the false prophet rising up as part of that judgment. Okay? And then we go in the chapter 14, which is a parenthetical chapter, just giving you descriptions of what happened with the 144,000 and other redeemed. Then chapter 16, he goes into the vial or the bowl judgments that take place in order. And that completes the wrath of God on the earth. Okay? It goes all the way through Armageddon. Then we go into chapter 17. It talks about the mystical Babylon, which is not literal Babylon. Chapter 16 ends talking right here about literal Babylon. Then it goes into chapter 17 talking about mystical Babylon, which is a religious force in the earth. And then chapter 18... end of chapter 16 gave you the fact about the destruction of literal Babylon, but it didn't happen right there. Then it goes into, again, chapter 17 about mystical Babylon, and then chapter 18 gives you the description of literal Babylon, which is a city. It's a literal city. Mystical Babylon is a literal spiritual force that dominates over the ten kings or the ten kingdoms that rise out of the old Roman Empire territory during the first 3.5 years, that religious force, the mystical Babylon, rules over those kingdoms. And what happens is at the end of the 3.5 years, those ten kingdoms give all their power and all their rule and all their authority over the Antichrist. Why? Well, he subdues three of them, according to Daniel. He subdues three of them with the help of another, which is Syria itself. And the other six willingly submit their authority over him, because they see he's going forth to conquer. There's no way to overcome him. And as a result of him having all that power, he has the power of the old Grecian prince, according to Daniel, which is the coming from the revived Grecian Empire, which has empowered every empire that's ever risen in the earth that was not of God, had a spiritual force behind it. That's the beast that comes out of the abyss. The Antichrist doesn't come out of the beast, out of the abyss. He comes out of the sea, of the sea of people. But this Grecian prince empowers the Antichrist along with the devil, and he has authority of all the 10 kingdoms, and he's after one thing, worship. Why? Because the devil wants the worship, and he wants to conquer and take over and force everybody to worship. Why? Because that's how the devil thought it ought to be. He didn't like the way God run things, where he gave everybody a chance to choose to worship him. He wants to force everybody to worship him. So then we see that he's forcing everyone to worship him by making them take a badge. He says the mark, the number of his name, the name of the beast. There's three different badges apparently. Everybody thinks it's one, but according to the King James Version, it sure appears to be three. To me, and most Bible scholars would agree that it's three, it's not one. The number is 666. So that's all I know. I don't know what his name is. I don't know what his mark is. But I do know that his number is 666. We don't know what his name is. Okay. Now, you could figure it out, though, based upon the 666. But we don't know what his name is. Why? Because the Antichrist, we don't know who the Antichrist is until after the 10 kingdoms rise up, and those 10 kingdoms don't rise up till after the rapture. So there's no way for us to know for sure who the Antichrist is. Oh, I'm telling you, I know who it is. No. The 10 kingdoms have to rise up first. There's way more than 10 kingdoms over in the old Roman Empire territory, which again is Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome. There's more than 10 kingdoms over there right now. It has to get narrowed down to 10, and after it's narrowed down to 10, after 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. He's going to come out of one of them, which is Syria itself. Now, the Antichrist is going to operate independently of the 10 kingdoms for the first 3.5 years. The 10 kingdoms, which are the 10 horns, are going to operate independently of the Antichrist for 3.5 years, but they're going to come together in the middle, and they're going to destroy mystical Babylon, which is that spiritual religious force in the earth that's affecting the whole earth to some degree. In that area of the world, they're going to destroy that religious force to set up a new religion, which is called beast worship. Everybody worship me or die, is what he's going to do. And that's going to go on for the last 3.5 years, 1260 days of Daniel's 70th week. And then they're going to gather, we see he's going to gather all the kings together to the place called Armageddon. Jesus and his faithful called chosen and faithful followers are going to come on white horses. That's you. Everybody say, that's me. With all of his powerful angels and blazing fire, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, God is just. He'll pay back trouble to those who judge you, those who trouble you, and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey. Everyone say, obey. The gospel. Say the gospel. The gospel has obedience connected with it. He says he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey. That why don't they obey the gospel? Because they don't know God. Why don't they know God? Because they don't know what his word says. So they go on telling you that you can sin all you want and still have Jesus. Forget about it. Those are doctrines from the devil himself, and it will send you to the pit of hell if you listen to that garbage. Don't listen to that garbage. Listen to the Word of God. If he says, cut off your hand if it causes you to sin, you're better off doing it than going on sinning. Why? He said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one hand than with two hands to be thrown into hell where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. He said it's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with maimed or one foot than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. He says if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He said it's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm never dies. He said everyone will be salted with fire. He said men gnaw their tongues with agony forever. Forever. Let's live holy lives. And let's enjoy life. We don't have to walk around cowering if we would just obey God. We don't have to walk around cowering, but we can run boldly to His throne and receive every prayer answered. Every heart's desire, He will give it to you if you dare to believe it. If you dare to believe that He wants you to be blessed in this life. The spirit of religion runs so rampant to try to convince you He wants you broke. It's hard to break free from that spirit. If it's a sin to be rich on this earth, then why did He say, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment? He just told you not to put your hope in the riches. He didn't tell you it's a sin to be rich. If it's a sin to be rich, well, isn't that terrible? God tells you that, you know, if what they tell you is true, then God wants you poor, but He's up there living in the greatest amount of sin that anybody's ever lived in ever. He's got streets of gold, gates of pearls, foundations of a city or every precious jewel. He's up there living in luxury, living in all the sin in the world then. Forget about it. God wants you blessed. He said, pray that God's will be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. His will in heaven is there is not even a sense of lack. People don't even know what lack is there. Let's obey God.